This is Yarena from Gwended, and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. I am your host, Blake. Now, we're a little late, I think, with this podcast, but we're going to catch up because I'm going to be recording like 3 podcasts in 5 days. But we might not release them as soon as I record them. But anyway, we're back for another one here. And I got my friend from New York, Georgina, with me. How are you, Georgina?
Hi, Blake. Hi, everybody. What's up?
Okay, and in case you're new here, I guess I'll go through my little blurb. Each week, we delve deep into the albums and bands that shape metal. Make sure you visit our website, www.themetalpit.org. And you can also visit the podcast website, which is themetalpitpodcast.com. So different than the website. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. That's for our website. And for the podcast, it's at The Metal Pit Podcast on Instagram. And I just made a Facebook page for the podcast as well, which is The Metal Pit Podcast, I guess, facebook.com, The Metal Pit Podcast. And that I made that page up so people can, if you want to give, because we usually give a top 10 list, you can give your top 10 list if you want to put it in the comments. Of course, the page, I just created the page, so it'll have to grow first, but hopefully eventually people will get on there and give their top 10 list, or maybe comment your favorite song from the album we're talking about, or whatever. That kind of jazz is why I did that. We're a little late. It's like we're in like almost the second year, almost the third year starting a podcast, and I just made the page. But anyway, we got it going now. Okay, did I cover everything? I think I did there. Oh, and you can also email me, podcast@themetalpit.org, if you don't want to go on the Facebook thing, because not everybody's on Facebook either. So you can send me suggestions, comments, or maybe you want to be a guest sometime on an episode. Okay, so we're going to go back to 1996, and we're going to talk about Marilyn Manson's album.
Yes, oh, we
Antichrist
are.
Antichrist Superstar. Sorry, I just forgot the name. So, okay, and I always ask when you first heard. I know you always say it's high school. So when did you first hear Marilyn Manson? Do you remember? I don't even know if I even remember, but I'll let you talk first and see if you can remember.
I'll be honest with you. On this one, I'm kind of going to draw a blank on this one. I honestly don't remember. But I have seen them live twice, but I don't know specifically when I originally heard them. Well, I know that when I did hear Marilyn Manson, I remember I was like, what kind of name is this? Marilyn Manson. I was like, what the heck is this? Is it a woman? You know what I mean? Is this a female artist? Who is this person? So the name did intrigue me, but I can't chronologically remember when exactly, Blake. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Beautiful People hearing that, if that was, because let's see, I think this is their third album, even though Wikipedia says it's their second album, but there's Smells Like Children, which came out in 1995, and then there's Portrait of an American Family, which was out in 1994, so I'm not sure why Wikipedia says it's their third album, or second album, this one, so I don't know why it says that. But I remember Dope Hat video also off the first album. I really like that song and video. But again, I can't remember if I went back to that after I heard Beautiful People, maybe. Because I've never seen them in concerts. I never seen them open for anybody else or anything. So I just, I can't remember why I ever heard Marilyn Manson. But I know I heard this album many times because I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just here. I'll do a little bit on Marilyn Manson.
Well, it's a concept album, you know. It's a concept album, Blake, right?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. First, I just want to say, I mean, Marilyn Manson was born Brian Hugh Warner. I guess he didn't like that name for his stage name. He grew up in Ohio and was raised in a strict Christian environment, of course. That's why he's an Antichrist superstar. He let's see, he had a fascination with the grotesque and the glamorous, and he created the persona Marilyn Manson, blending the names of Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson, which the whole band on this album and on the first few albums had the first name of a supermodel or an actress and the last name of a serial killer. So we had Twiggy Ramirez
Right.
on the guitars and bass, I guess, too. Daisy Berkowitz on the guitars, Madonna Wayne Gacy on the keyboards, and Ginger Fish. I'm not sure who Fish is. I don't know who the serial killer Fish is. I
Yeah.
looked it up. He's a drummer. Anyway, unless that's Fish from the TV show. Oh, shoot, no. Barney Miller show. There was a guy on there named Fish. But anyway, okay. Oh, and this album was produced. Okay, this was released October 1996, produced by Trent Reznor
Oh,
of
Albert Fish. Albert.
Albert Fit. Is that a serial killer? I
Yeah,
recognize
he
every
is.
last
He is
name. I
actually, yeah.
just didn't recognize Fish. Anyway, this album was produced
Yeah.
by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails. I guess he wasn't of Nine Inch Nails then. Were they around then? Maybe they
Yeah.
were. Okay, I don't know. And Manson, of course, and Steve Ogilvy also. And it's a very industrial sounding album. I really like Ministry, so maybe that's why I like this album too, because it's kind of along the same lines as Ministry's New World Order with the riffing and things like that. And let's see, anything else you want to say about the album before we get to it?
Well, I mean, I always got something to say.
Well,
It's a concept album, right? And I think it's one of a trilogy from my
yes.
understanding. And for me, I think it's his best work. And to think that I think Marilyn Manson wanted this to actually be a pop album, and it was Trent Reznor's vision that had a lot to do with it, of how it like ultimately came out from what I read. And according to the man himself, the triptych includes Manson's second, third, and fourth albums, The Antichrist Superstar, Mechanical Animals, and Hollywood. And it's interesting because I was just kind of reading through everything, and the storyline actually plays out backwards. And in Hollywood, a man recognizes the flaws and the hypocrisies of the place he lives, and seeks to point out these issues in hopes of correcting them. And in Mechanical Animals, from what I could remember, there's like these oppressive forces that he's arguing against that draw attention to him and basically pull him into like this moral, like reverse card, blaming him for society's ills. And in Antichrist Superstar, well, he stops basically giving a shit, and he develops this God complex. So this is awesome, and yeah.
And this album debuted at number 3 on the Billboard 200. It says it has
Yeah.
only sold, it has sold almost 2 million copies. Oh, in the United States alone, sorry. But I'm sure, yeah, it's over 7 million copies worldwide. And I guess on their tour, it was Dead to the World tour, they called it. And every show, at least in North America, was picketed by religious organizations. Because of the claims of bestiality and satanic rituals on stage, which of course is not true. But I guess he did cut himself or stuff like that, but whatever. And I
Yeah,
do
no,
remember
the
Marilyn Manson. He idolized Alice Cooper until they found out it was just a act and he wasn't really like his lyrics and stuff. So Marilyn Manson wanted to be like his lyrics. And so that's why he was like that. Apparently, it's at least back then in 1996 or whatever in the early times. Oh yeah, and the group was first going to be called, what was it going to be called? Marilyn Manson. No, I lost it. Dang, Marilyn Manson and the Boys or something. Something weird.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, no, I can't find it. But
I'm glad they didn't pick that. Oh my God, that doesn't fit right. That
I guess
doesn't fit right.
Daisy Berkowitz was fired during the recording of this album.
Right.
Which is another thing. Let me go back. Sorry, There's so much stuff on Marilyn Manson.
There is.
Oh,
you know,
sorry.
Did you
It's Marilyn
notice?
Manson and the Spooky Kids. Sorry, not the boys.
Oh God, that sounds weird.
Yeah, so that was going to be the
Do you notice
name.
that there's a lot of negative stuff like on this album? I mean, there was one guy that completely like ripped this to shreds. And I said to myself, you know what? Someone that doesn't like Marilyn Manson or is like cancel culture like in like spirit, they're going to have a different attitude on this artist versus probably your and my opinion, right? They're going to say that this album has angry lyrics, it promotes murder, suicide, there's like eroticism and there's this satanic overall distaste for Christianity in this album. But it sounds like fun, right? I'm just kidding. And for example, right? Just kidding. It's art. It's an art form. It's an album. There's like the lines that include, and this guy like just kind of ripped it to pieces when I was reading it. I was like, this guy for real? He's like, for example, he goes, the lines include, you can kill yourself now because you're dead in my mind. That's from a man that you fear, right? And I am the faggot anti-pope is in 1996. And these are just kind of the taglines. And then the other one was saw heaven and hell where lies where when God everyone dies. I think that one's reflecting God. Another one is I've got abortions in my eyes. I wasn't born with enough middle fingers. And that's like from Irresponsible, a hate anthem. And then one of my personal favorites, I am the dinner whore. The world spreads its legs for another star. And that's Little Horn. I actually love that song. And we'll get into that, obviously. And last one is I will bury your God in my warm spit. That was a deformography. And that's a small sampling of nearly 80 obscenity-strewn minutes of these like nihilistic gems from Marilyn Manson. So I think we're kind of the pros that love Marilyn Manson. But there's a lot of haters out there for sure. That'll kind of quote these, you know, lyrics and say a lot of nasty things about it, but whatever.
Yeah, well, for me, I kind of said this, but I don't really care what the group sings about. If I like the music, right. I'm fine with it. Like, I mean, unless they're saying something. I mean, there's shit in here and it says the F word all the time, but like, who cares, really? And like,
it's metal and rock and roll, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know. And then, of course, they also. We're kind of going all over the place here before we even started on the album, but they were also blamed as part of the reason for the Columbine High School massacre because kids, the two kids that did it, like Marilyn Manson. So of course that means it's his fault.
Right. And that was some serious stuff, right? That was serious allegations too.
And they had a bunch of concerts canceled in Russia. There was a bomb threat. So they canceled that concert there and whole bunch of things. It looks like there was another school thing here. What's this one here? It's this other shootings.
Yeah, there's a ton of material.
Yeah, another, let's see. Somebody was armed with two revolvers. He went down the hallway. He was wearing a black Marilyn Manson t-shirt during the incident. So of course that means it's Marilyn Manson's fault. And somebody said that Hail Marilyn Manson or something. I don't know, but whatever, but I don't care about all that crap. But anyway, okay. So do you want to talk about the album now, or do you want to talk about more?
Yeah. Have you ever seen them here? You forgot to mention, like, have we seen them in concert? Have you seen them live?
We usually do that.
Okay.
After.
So we'll save that for later.
But
we'll
I
save
haven't
that
seen
for
them,
later.
But you can talk about you seeing them, but.
I have. Yeah. I mean, I love Marilyn Manson and I attended, ironically, his Antichrist Superstar showing in Stamford, Connecticut. And that was back in 1997, folks. And then I was privileged to see him again at an Ozfest. But I preferred the Hartford one because it was much more intimate. And it was my first mosh pit experience. And this is one of the most finely tuned and theatrical albums I've personally ever heard, and you know, he brought his A game to this album.
Okay,
so yeah, well,
now there's like 17 songs on here, so we don't necessarily have to dig deep into each song, but I guess we'll start with the first one anyway. We'll kind of see, because even there's 17 songs, it's only the last one that's just the outro thing. All the rest are full songs, I think. remember correctly. But anyway, we start off with Irresponsible Hate Anthem. And I'll let you start.
Okay. Well, the song starts with like this crowd chanting, "We hate love. We love hate." And then it kind of immediately presents us with like this distorted industrial guitar sounds in the background. And then within just a few seconds, Manson's vocal performance kind of sounds amazing. I mean, I love this song. He starts off in a quiet, whispery tone, but quickly like gets into like this gritty, raspy growl, and he takes you back in time where powerful screaming in mainstream music like felt kind of authentic rather than non-authentic, if that's a thing. And this track stands out like fantastic. It kind of offers a variety like across the board of sounds, and this would kind of be an excellent introduction to an album that would define Manson's career for many years ahead. And someone had said, I had read that in recent times, this track actually wouldn't be played live due to the content of the N-word, right? And rape being in it. But any, you have you read that anywhere, Blake? No?
No, well, I don't know. Did I?
Good.
No, I don't think so.
No, but you know, a lot of people are like, you know, I don't know if he'd sing this live. And I was like, you know what? Any song could be offensive these days, right? So I beg to differ, right?
Yeah.
So love it. Great song. A lot of attitude in
Just
there.
trying to. Yeah, it doesn't have that. Yeah, this album, maybe you already mentioned this, it's supposedly divided into three sections, even though I didn't notice that back when I was listening to it then, because I probably had a CD at the time. I didn't have the vinyl of it because it must have been CD time. But anyway, the first section is the Hierophant, Fant, like, and then the next section is on Inauguration of the Worm, and then the last one is Disintegrator Rising. That's part of your concept, though. But anyway, yeah, like, well, see, I like every song. Like, as I listen to it, because I listen to this album once in a while, and like when we get to our top 10 albums from 1996, this is probably maybe one or two, maybe three of the albums that I listen to regularly out of
Right.
my top 10. So
It's great.
this is one of them. So, and this is the song you already mentioned this, but yeah, this says the lyric. The both, yeah, the, oh, I wasn't born with enough middle fingers. Yes.
Yeah, you gotta love it.
But yes, that's a good song. And of course, the next one, The Beautiful People, is probably his most well-known song ever, I'm assuming, I guess. I don't really listen to much Marilyn Manson. I mean, he hasn't made a lot of albums lately, obviously, but he has a new album coming out next month. But I have
Yes.
no idea if he's still heavy industrial or if he's changing it or what he's doing, because he's getting up there in age too. But anyway, do you like Beautiful People?
Yes, I do. I'm so shallow. And it's definitely widely recognized, and it's his anthem. And over the years, right? This song has dominated rock radio, and it's even served as a theme song for a WWF SmackDown. So you know that this thing is like freaking popular. It's got this this unforgettable drum riff and these haunting vocals, and it really does stand out. And it's undoubtedly the band's most recognizable song. And it's I know everyone says it's so overplayed, Georgina, but you know what? Right, Blake? It's overplayed. It totally is. But it's a true classic that continues to bring like smiles, and everyone's like banging their head to it, no matter how often it's heard. So many can regard it as like his signature song, blah blah blah. But I believe that there are better songs that he has that deserve attention. But it's a great song. I love Beautiful People.
Well, it's like it's an infectious riff. Like, I mean, I have, well, I don't know how many albums I have on my Spotify, so I'll have a playlist and it random songs, and all the time I'm skipping songs, but if Beautiful People comes on, I don't skip it, even though I've heard it so many times. It's just, I don't know, it's a great riff. And lyric, I don't know if you said this lyric at the start, but there's no time to discriminate. Hate every motherfucker that's in your way.
Yeah.
But
Oh
anyway, yeah,
my
like you said,
God.
it was a big radio song, even though some of the lyrics probably aren't that appropriate for the radio.
Right. Go bleep bleep.
but whatever. Then we get up to something you're used to, dried up, tied, and dead to the world.
Oh my
I don't know
goodness,
what I meant by
Blake.
that.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. Well, I mean, obviously, this is a little bit different than Beautiful People, but it does have a more industrial sound that's kind of reminiscent of Nine Inch Nails, right? That's at least what I got. Then you got these catchy lyrics throughout the song. However, the instrumental stuff kind of falls short a little bit compared to the previous two tracks. They're distinctive, but not as distinctive. You get this kind of loud, quiet, and it gives a sense that something's kind of missing somewhere in there. But it's not a bad song. It's definitely worth listening to. But you can't compare it to the other two before, but I love it just the same.
No, yeah, and yeah, it's a little slower and I don't know,
Yes,
sludgier.
it is a
Slower,
bit.
is that a word?
Yeah.
But
Do you hear my
yeah,
chair cranking? I hope you don't. They're probably catching it. By the way, guys, if you hear the cranking, it's just my office chair. Need some
I guess the
DW40.
lyrics deal with self doubt and the transformation that Manson is undergoing, if the lyrics are supposed to be about himself, that is. I don't know if they are, but. But so the song is like you can feel the weight of the song, like you're watching someone shedding their skin, which does sound like Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
I don't have any lyric quote from that song, so but anyway, yeah, but I, yeah, it's still a good song. Like, there's no like bad, I don't know if Marilyn Manson even sings ballads, does he? I don't, probably not. I
I'd
don't know,
love to hear one. Now that I think of it, I'd love to hear
but
that.
this is probably one of the slower ones, but it's definitely
Yeah.
not a ballad or anything. Still industrial, like. Then we go to Tourniquet. I hope I'm saying that right. What do you think of Tourniquet?
Well, I mean, it stands out as one of the strongest tracks on the album, and it kind of takes you back in time where when like emotional like emo songs had like a presence, and you got the chorus, you got the bridge, and there's this powerful intensity between those two, while Manson's vocals like truly shine in the slower verses. Like his voice captures like this mix of feelings. There's a bit of sadness there and anger and this kind of touch of madness that we kind of expect from him. And you've got the music video, which features like these bizarre and artistic visuals that we grow to love. And they kind of tell this captivating story, filled with this striking imagery. It's good stuff. It's all him. Still with me, Blake? We're gonna run over an hour on this 17 tracks, but that's okay. He's worth it.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, I was looking through the lyrics of this song, but there's some weird things,
Go ahead, pick something, even
but
though it's
well, I
weird.
don't
Come on, we're both a bunch of weirdos.
take
Ahead,
your hatred out on me, make your victory my head. I am your tourniquet. Okay, that's not too exciting, but this is, yeah, this, it's kind, I guess I read that this is like a love song, but again, he's not really singing it like your
Yeah,
poison
totally
like a
love
love
song.
song. Yeah. The next one, I think the next one is one of my favorites on the album, even though, like I say, I like them all anyway, but Little Horn.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, what do you think of Little Horn?
I love this song too. It stands out as one of the heaviest songs on the album for sure. You've got this relentless force that kind of doesn't slow down. It gives you like this experience that's typical for a heavy metal enthusiast like myself and everybody else out there that's probably listening. You've got these vocals, they're powerful, they're aggressive. Though they don't reach to the level of like this harsh screaming. So it makes the track really appealing, and fans that love heavy industrial metal just kind of foam to the mouth when they listen to this song. Unfortunately, it's the shortest song on the album, Blake. There's
Is
like this
it?
runtime, yes, it is, of just like 2:43 on there. So it's definitely the shortest track, but definitely a powerful one for sure. Love it. Love Little Horn.
Okay. Well, we need some lyrics. So here's
Yeah.
some. There's an apple
Yeah,
in
throw
the
some in here.
there's an apple in the pussy mouth.
Yeah,
There's Now I am the dinner whore with a tumor in the TV mouth. I don't even...
Yes. Oh my.
Somebody better get the dog.
They're rated R today.
Jaws wired shut to save the dick.
Oh my.
I better stop there. Okay.
Yes, you should.
Again, I'm not, I don't care that much about the lyrics. Usually it's the podcast where I kind of look at the lyrics more. Right. I mean, at least you can understand what he's saying most of the time.
Like yes, yes, yes.
Kind of music, metal or whatever. So you can hear it as he's saying it, but it still doesn't bother me. You just like the songs. Okay, anyway. Then now we go to, this is the start of part two, I guess, of the three-part thing, but nothing really matters. But Cryptor Child, I guess we're saying. What do you think of Cryptor Child?
Yeah, this is like a weird name, isn't it? Like, I was just, I remember when I first saw the title of the song, I was like,
oh, wait, it's not wait, Child, is it? It's Cryptor Chid. Sorry, I threw an L in there. There's no L. It's Cryptor Chid, if you say Cryptor it like that.
Cryptor Chid. This song, it kind of like creates this disturbing atmosphere. With this kind of warped main beat that he's got and these unsettling, like these background sounds. And then you've got like his haunting vocals. And I don't know, it feels like something out of a horror film with, you know, and at times the song kind of gives me the creeps, yet it's an incredible track. It really, really is. And then it kind of shifts halfway through where it kind of chant, sounds like a seance, right? And then you got like this little dramatic flair going on, and it kind of really draws you into the heart of the album. And it's definitely a bit longer than Little Horn, it's good stuff. Perfectly timed song, really, really different. Cryptor Chid.
Yeah, and lyrics again. I don't really know. Maybe you know what these mean, but. When the boy is still a worm, it's hard to learn the number seven.
That's a Kabbalah. There's Kabbalah in there. He's a Kabbalist, I think. So the numbers game kind of means something to him.
I wish I had my balls. Oh, prick your... Oh, this is the one that... Yeah, this is the one where they have that voice going near the end where it just says, prick your finger, it is done. The moon has...
There's the number seven... You see, now you got me like, sorry, like number seven in Kabbalah is kind of mystery, magic, and spiritual illumination, right? So he's probably going somewhere with that.
Kabbalistic, he says that something. Last prick your finger thing about 10 times in a row.
Yeah, prick your finger. It was like kind of blood something, yeah, blood oath.
Angel has spread its wings. The time has come for, I thought it was better things, but it says here bitter things.
Oh,
I'm not sure if that's could wrong we or I'm wrong.
Different.
I don't know. I thought he said better thing. It says bitter.
Oh.
But maybe the lyrics are wrong. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, okay. No. But anyway, yeah, I like that. Even though he repeats that thing 10 times, it sounds pretty cool, I think, and I like that.
Yeah, you're a hard guy. You dig this.
Yes, that's right. That's why I like, yeah. He could definitely write the soundtrack, the horror movie, which he probably
does. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't look into all the other albums. Okay, then we go to deformography. I don't know how to say it. What number is it? Eight? Seven? Number seven. What do you think?
Yeah, we've got a long way to go. This one brings us back. I think it's just kind of straightforward industrial rock. And you got this electric beat that kind of drives the entire track. And then you've got like this, I don't know, this hollow, the trash can like drums that you hear. However, this song, for some strange reason, I over the years, I don't kind of revisit this song. The others I kind of do. The lyrics and the vocals are okay. And it sometimes it feels like it's much longer than it should be, but it's still a great track, but it just kind of sometimes feels a little longer than it needs to be.
I will bury your God in my warm spit. And this is one lovely. Where you keep saying rock star. Yeah, you're such a dirty, dirty rock star.
Oh, yes, he is. We're not going to go there right now.
Okay, then we go to his, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Worm Boy. How do you like the Worm Boy?
Well, Worm Boy, it kind of, this one showcases Manson's vocal talents, in my opinion, and than any other the other tracks. He demonstrates like this wide range of vocal styles here. From you've got this kind of regular tone to falsetto deep tones, and then you've got like this intense yelling going on. And then he kind of captures the feelings of anger, at least that's what I got, madness and this joy, all in like this one shebang. And the instrumentals might come off as like chaotic and weird to some people, but I think his impressive vocals kind of make the song on point. Good stuff. Worm boy.
And yeah, and when you get to heaven, you will wish you were in hell.
Yes.
Don't pick the
Mwah.
scabs or you will never heal.
Yes. Don't do that.
Which one? He has a lot of, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I like his vocals on this albums and stuff. And
I love it that you're getting into the lyrics. Okay, I love it. I think it's great.
well, I got my Spotify on, so I'm looking at every lyric as you're talking
Awesome.
to see if there's anything interesting.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, but I'm pretty sure there's plenty of material here.
Then we go to Mr. Superstar. And you can go ahead. Oh, yeah.
You think he's talking about himself here?
Well, I
Yeah.
think he was talking about himself in the last one, saying he's Worm Boy.
Right.
And now he's trying to be Mr. Superstar, I guess. He's maybe it's a taunt directed at the worshiping nature of society. Maybe he's
Right.
mocking that.
A bit. I mean, this song, it might not stand out for like its lyrics as much, and but some people say that it feels kind of out of place on this album, but because I feel like there's a way that yeah you could kind of, think to yourself that it resembles a track that would be on the next album on Mechanical Animals versus this one. However, the song's still great, and you've got like this catchy rhythm, and there's like this nice variety of sounds in here. So it's a cool song. I dig it. Love it.
There was a lyric I was gonna say, but I think maybe I better
Oh.
not. He has a lot of I. He says a lot of I in the song. I know that I can turn you on. I wish I could just turn you off. I never wanted this. And he just
Oh
keeps.
my.
I never, 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 never wanted this.
Yeah.
You could kill yourself on TV. I wish I was dead. I don't know, but he's all over the place. He says, yeah, hey, Mr. Superstar, I'd kill myself for you. But anyway,
Paparazzi.
yeah, excuse me, all choked up over that sad song.
Oh.
Okay, now we got the angel with scabbed wings. This sounds like this is about you, Georgina, isn't it?
He gets scabs wings. Oh my God. Well, it's definitely a powerful industrial piece. Every time I hear wings, I just kind of like, ooh, this must be really cool. It features like this cool, fast-paced vocals during these verses, and that can hard to like you can't really grasp what's going on here, but they're still appealing, and the song takes a little bit of time to appreciate, but I definitely kind of go back and listen to this one for sure all the time when I'm listening to this whole album. Good stuff. I don't have anything negative to say about any of these songs.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, I guess we could discuss the lyrics and say it's bad, but who cares? Anyway, yeah, that's a good song. Now we got Kinderfield. Okay, do you want to talk about that one, or maybe we should just skip this one since we have
Wait,
some.
Kinderfield?
Huh?
I mean,
Kinder. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's soft. It's a soft track. There's, these emotional vocals that are kind of, paired with this spacey rhythm. And it's got like an intriguing, this intriguing atmosphere when you listen to it. You've got like this dark gothic vibe that stands out. And It reminds me a little bit from a couple of the tracks on Smell, Smells Like Children, and it fits perfectly in the lineup, serving as a great lead-in to, to the next song, to the next song.
Yeah, looking through the lyrics on that song, they don't really make much sense. That's all I'm gonna say. Okay, then we get to the title track, and it's kind of weird to put the title track as the 12th track on the album, and it's not even the last track. Antichrist Superstar. So how do you like the title track?
Well, the title track stands out as an incredible piece of art. I know it sounds lame to say that, but not really. It kind of it expresses these anti-religious themes. And when I remember when I heard Antichrist Superstar, I always remembered like that whole Jesus Christ Superstar. He's kind of flipping this around kind of thing. This song captures Manson's essence far better than the Beautiful People ever could. Lyrics are great. You got like this striking imagery. The vocal effects and the instrumentals kind of create this intense atmosphere that you get this raw and powerful feeling. And this track is likely the most well-crafted and impressive on the album. It's definitely an essential song to listen to for kind of anyone that appreciates this genre. Or I hate to say, any anti-religious music, you're gonna dig this, definitely.
And well, for me, like I say, it's the music is important to me, and like, I like Ministry and maybe Rammstein or Rammstein, however you want to say it. So the
Rammstein.
riffing is just like that. It's so like there's constantly good riffing going on and stuff, and
Yes.
it's fast, and there's no crappy ballads or anything in it. And he's sure there's some weird lyrics, some off the ball shit, but yes, it's just fun to listen to, even if. Now, maybe if I was a Christian, I might not like it, but whatever. Now we hadn't even, I didn't even recall that there was a song called 1996 till I was getting ready for the podcast. But the next song is called 1996, which is the year the album was released. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think of 1996?
This track is full of energy and anger. Right. It's not just Marilyn Manson's performance. The whole song kind of feels like it's ready to kind of just like explode in your face, which is what makes it pretty great. And another song that critiques religion, it's perfect to kind of, blast. I know that some people are like driving by a church and they're like, we're cranking this thing. And I'm like, yeah. The sound can get, pretty wild and a little bit disorganized, but it just enhances the overall listening experience. Good stuff.
Yes, this says some of those controversial lyrics, which you already kind of
Yes.
mentioned a few of them.
Yes.
So I won't repeat them.
Hmm.
But yeah, he's anti everything in this song. Anti me,
Yeah,
anti
pretty
me,
much.
anti things I fucked and hate.
Yeah.
Anti Satan, anti other stuff. Okay, anyway, that's enough of that. Okay, then we go to Minute of Decay. And this is a little slower one, too. What do you think of
Yeah.
this?
Well, there's a combination of like this bass-driven instrumentals, then you have these emotional lyrics, and it creates obviously again, you get this heavy atmosphere, and it's conveying a sense of finality here. There's a contrast between some verses, and then you have this distorted guitar riff in the chorus, like type of situation. Creates like this, I don't know, what's the word that I'm looking for here? Like this emotional impact, it really does. And then you have Manson's angry screams in the second verse coming in that kind of really emphasize the turmoil that this character is experiencing, right? There's the decision to keep the vocals raw and then and unprocessed like because it kind of enhances the authenticity of the feelings. And it allows us, right, as the listener, to kind of connect a little bit more deeply with what this character is struggling with, right? It sounds like this gripping exploration of, you know, decay and loss. And there's a lot of negative chatter from what I read online from the song, that the Minute of Decay kind of, you know, betrays Manson's destructive course and like this dangerous agenda, for teens. You know, like, I'm on the way down now, I'd like to take you with me. So teenagers, listener discretion is advised. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Yeah, you already said everything about that.
Yeah, oh my God. Did I blink? Oh God.
Yeah, well, you're talking with what, I'm not going to quote any more lyrics. But yeah, anyway.
You can if you want to.
No. There's not much to that one either. And then let's see, this is kind of the album closer. It's the last real song, I guess, because the other song, number 17, is actually a hidden song, I guess, because I think it's actually track 99 on your CD. Mm. Mm-hmm. So if you would probably, I probably sat there thinking, where the fuck's the next song? What the fuck's going on? You have to wait. I think it was every few seconds it would change a track until you finally get to number 99. And then it was just an outro to the album. But anyway, so we do have to talk of the last song is, well, where did I lost it? Where's the last song?
Was it Man That You Fear?
Yes, Man That You Fear. It is lost place.
The Man That You Fear. Well, you want me to go first, yes, or you want to take this one to the end?
No, you go.
Okay. Well, it's definitely a you know, poignant song to close this you know, this album, and it carries an incredible combination of, you got these haunting instrumentals, and you know, Manson's vocal delivery creates like this deep, moving experience for everybody, and it feels like a culmination of albums here, different themes, and it's kind of wrapping up the narrative in a way that's kind of heartbreaking yet profound. And you're listening to the album in a different kind of way with this song, and it's making it a necessary moment that kind of leaves this lasting impression of what Manson's ability is like to kind of evoke out of all of us to this deeper level of whatever he's trying to convey to us. And it's definitely a standout track for sure.
I love this screaming, like, oh, you know, Scar, Scar, can you feel my power? And of course it gets shoot, 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 motherfucker, shoot.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man.
But actually I was gonna say The Reflecting God, actually, yeah, that's one of my favorite songs on the album too. I forgot to mention that. Mm. When we were on that. But yeah, and this is a great closer, even though it's not really the closer, but it's a great last song anyway. So, and then, I mean, we don't need to talk about the other thing since it's just music playing as an outro anyway. Okay, so I guess...
Did we go into the Reflecting God? Did we go into that one or no?
I thought we did.
Did we? All right, if we did, we like
it. Yeah, that's the one where you said everything I was going to say.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, the lyrics, he's a sense of hopelessness. And
yes, oh whatever. Boy.
You talked about that one. Yes, we did talk about that. But I think that's one of my favorites on the album, too. Okay.
So many songs, I lost my place.
Oh, rate it. We're going to rate it. What do you give it out of 10?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Drum roll, please. It gets a 9. That was easy.
I'm going to give it a 10.
Whoa! Oh my God! Oh my God! And you're a cheapskate on giving these tens. Oh my God!
Yeah, there isn't anything wrong with it. I mean, I guess you could take 10 off or half of the weight.
Oh man! Wow!
Tracks to go by to get to number 99.
Holy cow! You blew my head off with that one.
It's just an outro, but I don't know. Yeah, I like every song on it. And if I go back, like, because if we go, I'll look while you talk about seeing them live then. Because I've never seen him live. I don't even remember.
A great show live. Really interesting. You know, back in Connecticut. Really, really good stuff. I mean, the acclaim that's been given to this album is just kind of by devout followers like you and me. We're not lying, right? It's one of the most finely tuned, definitely theatrical albums I've ever heard. And Even for everybody that's heard of bad things like about Marilyn Manson in the news, and if you've listened to some of the other efforts and despite them, then give this album a try. It's definitely worth listening to for sure.
Yeah, he's got about, what do we got here, like 10 or 12 albums. Now, I definitely listened to the first two, and then Antichrist Superstar, the next. I don't think I liked Hollywood that much. I don't remember. But the Golden Age of Grotesque, I really like that album. And I would say after that, I don't even know if I've even listened to the given too much time to any of the albums after that. Have you?
I mean, I have. I mean, like I said, this is just kind of a staple. Marilyn Manson is a staple in my collection. Like, I've got a whole mess of stuff, and I'm definitely gonna pick up his new album once it comes out.
Because I don't
I
think
just
he
like
stayed
him.
as heavy, did he? After like the golden age of grotesque, because he's like, it's not as heavy. He still
Kind
was
of.
heavy
No,
on
it's
that for
not as
sure, but.
heavy. It's not as heavy. I'd be actually. I'm curious to see what he's going to put out now with all of this other stuff, mumbo jumbo that's going on in his personal life. I'm just curious to see
There
what's
is a
going to come out
single
of
out,
him.
but I didn't try it out yet or nothing, but there
Yeah,
is
I
a
mean,
single out, I think.
it's okay. Single's good, but I don't know what
Okay.
the whole full album is going to look like. But this would definitely be interesting. I have some factoids. Do you want to hear them
Sure.
about Brian, about lovely Brian, personable Hugh Warner?
Was he in the Wonder Years TV show?
Yes, I definitely was. Cute little boy, squeeze his cheeks. Well, here I'm going to give you a couple of factoids. He's one of the most prominent members of the Church of Satan. He was accused of severing his own penis. Manson actually he's his behavior was a little bit outlandish.
Who
Back
hasn't done
in
that? Come
I
on.
know, really, it's so blasé and so boring now. He's got to up the ante on that one. But in 2003, he was arrested in Italy after a fan accused him of cutting off his genitals mid-concert, and he flung him into the audience to prove his innocence. Manson then flashed the Italian police. Another factoid, supposedly that I read, is that he occasionally shoplifts. Despite being worth over $25 million, Manson still feels the urge to kind of shoplift from time to time. Must be just kind of the thing of him like getting caught or who knows what. Another factoid is that his mother may have had Munchausen by proxy syndrome. I'm sorry. And as a child, Marilyn Manson was often ill. He was very anemic and he suffered multiple bouts of pneumonia, little guy. And his mother told him that he was allergic to a number of unusual things, including things like eggs and fabric softener. And she also told him that his earlobes were too long, and she pressured him into getting plastic surgery to correct those once his ears took off. But Manson basically claims his mother suffered from this Munchausen by proxy syndrome, which is a form of child abuse where the parent causes illnesses into their child in order to fulfill their own psychological needs. So he believes he didn't actually suffer most of these illnesses and that symptoms were caused by his mother. And Manson seems to have come to terms with his childhood, apparently. Him and Johnny Depp have matching tattoos. I don't know if you knew. I know you knew that one, right, Blake? You knew about
No,
the tattoos?
I
No, you didn't. No.
that.
Manson and Johnny Depp—they've got this close relationship, so close that they performed on stage together and attempted to buy an antique Nazi guns together as well. They also have not one but two matching tattoos. I'm sorry, I thought it was one, but it's two, and both have the phrase "No Reason" inked into their wrists and a Charles Baudelaire, the flowers of evil, the giant skeleton thing on their backs. Manson's vague about the meaning about the ink, but yeah, they share that. Should I keep going? I've got quite a few. How much time do we have?
Well, you can keep going if you
All
want.
right, Charlie Manson
I'm
wrote
just
him a
looking for
strange note.
stuff
Listen to
too.
this one. Charlie Manson wrote him a strange note. And Manson took part of his stage name, as we all know, right? Took part of Charlie Manson, the serial killer who basically terrorized Southern California in the 1960s. And the murderer has been behind bars for many, many years. But in 2012, he sent Manson a bizarre postcard. And the rambling note contains some vaguely threatening statements. And here they are. He quotes, "It's taken a long time to get there from where I could touch M. Manson. Now I got a card to play. You may look into my nonprofit, ATWA, and give Manson what you think he's got coming for air, trees, water, and you. Or I will pay Manson what you think Manson got coming. The music has made Manson into Abraxas Devil, and I'm sure you would want some of what I got. From what I got, it's far out of balance." And Manson never responded to the convicted killer, by the way, on that note. Another factoid is that he launched an award-winning absinthe, and he was involved in some unique business ventures over the years, including the creation of his own brand of absinthe called Marcinth. What a weird name. Like in all true absinthe, in it contains wormwood. It packs like this hefty 6.6% proof punch. The drink even won a gold medal at the 2008 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. But the musician reported that in 2015 he claims that he didn't want to drink the stuff anymore, so he kind of abandoned that venture. And another one is that another factoid that I read is that he had a bizarre relationship with his grandfather, right? Even before he adopted his larger than life stage persona that we all know, Manson's life wasn't exactly very normal. And as a child, Manson, then known as Little Brian Warner, would go down to his grandfather's basement and watch him masturbate to adult videos featuring bestiality. And Manson says that he found his grandfather's predilections to be kind of repulsive at the time, but he now empathizes with the old man because he too has been misunderstood. Another one, really quick one, is personal hygiene isn't very great. Another one is that he has more than 450 scars. And another one that we all might not realize is that he has a sweet side. And Manson can certainly be scary, but he actually cares about his fans. And in 2015, Manson partnered with the Make-A-Wish Foundation to make this 14-year-old April Ramirez girl's dreams come true. So basically, Ramirez was a huge fan of Manson's work and diagnosed with Burkitt's leukemia in May of that year. She got to meet Manson in July and went to a concert where he dedicated one of his songs. And he also gifted Ramirez one of his lipsticks.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a big fan of video games. Manson has a hobby that some people might find surprising. In his spare time, he likes to play video games. Manson says that he's pretty good at Mario Kart, and that his friend, you're gonna laugh there, and then his friend got him this little Japanese lawyer game. And he says it's fucking amazing. And it's most likely he means Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney is the name of the game. And not only does Manson like to play video games, he also contributed them. His songs have been played in and used in numerous games, including The Darkness, the WWE SmackDown, Shut Your Mouth and Saints Row, the third. And he even appeared as an alien character in the video game Area 51, a role that was drawn to do. To his distaste for mankind in general. Another one is he collects creepy objects. He gave Rolling Stone a tour back in 2015 of his home in the Hollywood Hills. And he pointed out along the way a range of whimsical images and things that he has around the house too, things that were downright unsettling. And the last one that I'll mention is that Kmart refused to sell his album due to the inappropriate nature of this album and the album cover and its content. Walmart and Target refused to stock this album and Mechanical Albums, Mechanical Animals, I believe. The cover featured Manson's head, edited into a naked alien's body, and they didn't dig it. And I know that you mentioned the situation before when we were chatting regarding the Concubine High School shooting, so I won't get into that again. But there's an interesting timeline. And he's also had some high-profile relationships. Like, I remember when he married Dita Von Teese. I mean, she was gorgeous back in 2005, I believe. And then he divorced her in 2006, a very short-term marriage, because apparently he had some inappropriate relationships with other women. So that didn't end very well. But she was a fox. Dita was a fox. But like you said, the new news was that Marilyn Manson has a new album. And I believe it's called One Assassination Under God, right? Chapter one.
Yeah, I guess.
So you know what I'm thinking, right? If it's chapter one, there's going to be a chapter two and a three, like a trilogy kind of thing.
Yes, possibly, if he's got it in him. It's been a while since he had a last album, isn't it, I think? But
yeah. I'm
not really sure, but. Anyway, let's get to our. Are we done with that? I think we are. Yes. Let's get to our top 10.
Oh, there's more, but we'll keep it short. That's the short version. There's much more. Folks, look online.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I'll do my top 10 of the year 1996 first, since you were just talking for a while. So I'll give you a break and I'll do mine first.
Thank you. I need a glass of water.
So my number 10 album is King Diamond's total album, The Graveyard.
Oh.
Yeah, but like I said during the pod, a lot of these I don't really back and listen to anymore. I mean, that's one of them, but I just tried to figure out how I would rank them. So my number 9 is Apocalyptica, which was the four guys that were, the album was four cellos playing Metallica, I think, as it beat out Metallica's Load album on my list. Since it's not on my list, even though there's still some songs on it, I don't mind. But yeah, there's too many songs on it. And number 8, we got Sepultura with Roots. Bloody Roots. It was just called Roots, I guess. Sorry, the album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number 7, I got a Canadian thrash metal band, Annihilator, with Refresh the Demon.
Yes.
And number 6, I have a group that we mentioned a few times here, Ministry, with their album Filth Pig. Number 5, we got King Diamond again, but this time as part of Merciful Fate with their album Into the Unknown.
Wow, okay.
I prefer Merciful Fate over King Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, we got Helloween with The Time of the Oath. Always liked Helloween and most of their albums, so they're up there. Number 3, we got Pantera with the great Southern Trendkill, which is probably, is that their last good album or their last album? I can't remember if it was or not, but. Anyway, it's a good one. And number 2, I have Manowar with Louder Than Hell. Because I love Manowar. Don't you love Manowar?
Yeah, I do. I didn't expect you to put them up there. Wow. One close.
And my number 1 is the album we're talking about, Marilyn Manson, Anti-Grace.
Very cool. Yeah, that's actually a really nice list. That was very impressive, Blake.
Okay, there was a bunch of others, you know, close. I don't know, like Bruce Dickinson had an album, Dio had an album, but they just weren't, you know, their best albums. Like I said, Metallica had Load, but that's obviously not one of their best. Stuff like that. So let's hear yours.
I got some
Rush. Is Rush on your list?
No, it's not. Not on this one. But there's a lot of thrashy stuff on this one for 1996. Number 10 is Helloween. I picked The Time of the Oath as number 10. Number 9 is, for me, I'm a Ministry fan just like you. Filth Pig got number 9. Number 8, I threw in Overkill. I love my Overkill. The Killing Kind went in there number 8. 7, Sepultura Roots. I'm right with you on that one. Definitely put them on the list. 6, I threw in some Opeth, Morning Rise. I got a lot of airplane. Five, I put in Iced Earth. Are you an Iced Earth fan?
Oh.
I think you are. The Dark Saga. Thought that was a pretty damn good
I
album.
listened to that a little, but I'm not that, like, except for Halloween. I'm not that much into power metal, really, necessarily.
I threw that in there. I even
But
tossed that one in
I
there.
think I had that album, but it's just not as, didn't like it as much as the best. So.
Number four, I got Marilyn Manson in there. I got our boy Antichrist Superstar. Number three, Typo Negative. I put in October Rust because Peter was so cute. Two is Annihilator. Refresh the
Really?
Demon. Yes, I love
Really?
that album. I really love that album. That's what when you mentioned it, I was like, yes. And
Didn't even
remember, I'm a
know if you
Canuckian
knew who
heart.
you
I was born
were
in
since.
Canada. Are you kidding me? I was born in
Oh.
Canada. Did you forget? I might be in New
Yeah.
York. I was born in Quebec.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I
But
forgot.
I love Annihilator.
Okay.
I even have an Annihilator shirt somewhere in my like collection of like black t-shirts somewhere. And
Oh.
number one, drum roll, please. You guys know I'm a Pantera fan. The Great Southern Tread Kill hook won the number one spot. Ta-da.
Cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, that was good. I think we're right at an hour, I think, or so, unless I have to edit
Are
out some
we? God, and I thought we
swearing.
were going to go over. I thought we were going to go over because there's so much going on here.
Well, it was good though.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so if you've never heard of Marilyn Manson before, I don't know if that's possible. Maybe if you're under 30, if you're not offended easily, check out this album.
Exactly. Give it a
And
spin.
if everything goes correctly on scheduling, the next podcast I'm going to be on with a couple of females. I'll just introduce them
Aren't you
right away.
lucky?
Because one of
Ooh.
them, I can't even remember her last name, so I don't even know if I know it yet. So I just asked her what her first name was today. People have weird Instagram names sometimes, and it's not the real name. But anyway, I'll just talk to her. But anyway, we're going to do the album by Lamb of God, Ashes of the Wake. So that's the album we're going to do that one. I think it's the last time we
Nice.
did a Lamb of God album.
Yes.
And I think I'm gonna have a contest coming up for the podcast after that. Me and two
Are
guys,
you?
we're gonna do something about thrash, not on an album, but we're just gonna talk about thrash, the genre in general. And I think I'm gonna put a contest. I gotta put it together or whatever, because we want people to participate and give us their top 10 lists and stuff like that. But I'll have more about that either on the website, Facebook, wherever, Instagram. I'll mention it more maybe on the next podcast if I figure it out before then, what I'm doing exactly, because we want to get some fan participation going
Cool.
on.
That sounds like a lot of fun, Blake.
Okay, yes. Okay, so thanks, Georgina, for joining me, and thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Blake. Thank you, everybody. Keep it heavy.